Praise be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the book of Daniel in 13 lessons. Lesson 1, from reading to understanding. Christ, the center of Daniel. The Word of God, the biblical books, they all have Christ in the center, but especially the book of Daniel. It is a book which shows Christ in the middle of the universe, being in control. When Jesus Christ was crucified and then risen from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week, two of the disciples went from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And on their way, a third person stepped up to them, joined them, walked with them, and asked, "Whoa, what are you discussing here?" And they said, "Are you the only one not knowing what happened last weekend about Jesus the Nazarene who had been crucified? And we thought he would be the one who would deliver Israel, especially from the Romans. We thought he would be the Messiah." And then this third person told them something. We read this in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, and there verse 25 and 6. "Oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and so enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" And then he showed them all the texts in the Old Testament where Christ is shown as the one who has to suffer and to die on the cross. And at the end of the day, when they arrived at their hometown, they invited the stranger to spend the night with them. At first they wanted to eat together, and before eating, the stranger raised his hands and thanked God for the food. And when he raised his hands, they saw the signs of the crucifixion. And then they discovered, the stranger, it is Christ. He's risen from the dead. And when they wanted to touch him, he disappeared. And they ran back to Jerusalem, to meet the other disciples, to tell them, "We've seen him. He's been with us. He's walked with us." And when they came there, they ran in the night, although there was no light there. They were full of joy. They didn't want to wait another night. They wanted to tell right now. And when they came there and told this story, the other disciples said, "Yes, and these and these and these women, they have seen him too. And Peter has seen him. And suddenly, Jesus was in the middle of them. Although they had locked the door, he could walk through walls as the risen Savior. In this story, Jesus tried to show them it was prophesied. Everything that happened in the life of the Messiah, it was prophesied. it is written, and it was fulfilled. And that's what we find in the book of Daniel. And Christ is in the center of this book. The structure of Daniel. When you have been a pupil in school, I'm sure you had such a time when you had to write something about a theme. And when you read the title, then you start thinking. The whole concept, the structure. Or what is the aim? Where do I want to go to, arrive at the end? Which destination should be reached? And you need in your thoughts a kind of overview. And in the book of Daniel, when we read from chapter 1 to 12, we discover a certain structure. It's not just a story and another story added and another story added. No, there is a system, a strategy in writing. It's called chiasmos in Greek words. Like a ladder going up A, B, C, and then we have parallels. And going the other way, the other side of the ladder down, here we go up, and there we go down, and there are parallels. A, B, C, C, B, A. For example, Nebuchadnezzar's vision of the kingdoms, the four kingdoms, this is A. And in the end, Daniel 7, Daniel's vision of the four kingdoms. The king sees a king in several metals, and Daniel sees beasts, different ones. And it goes on like this. In chapter 3, when Daniel's friends are rescued out of the fire, and in Daniel 6, when Daniel is rescued out of the lion's den. So this structure helps us for interpreting the text. The structure in itself is a piece of art, a piece of poetry. It's not just a story and another story added. It's a structure, a whole picture, like a puzzle. And in the middle, so when we think of A, B, C, the chapters 4 and 5, judgment about the king in Daniel 4. And in Daniel 5, the parallel situation, judgment about another king, the third in the row after Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. And in this structure, the deeper we study, the more we discover the wonder of this structure. And later on, when we go on to the next chapters, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, 8, 10, 12, we find in the interpretation there are several kingdoms, Babylonia, Medo-Persia, Greek kingdom, Romans, and these are parallel in all these chapters, as we will see. So, What is so much important that these prophecies reach towards the end, till our days, not just somewhere in the past they stop, they go on till our day, up to the last days of this planet. This is interesting, isn't it? Apocalyptic prophecies in Daniel. A prophecy comes out of the universe. It's an information not invented on this planet. Informations from the outside. And these informations, they are special. Therefore, very special. And this word, apocalyptic prophecies, apocalyptic, apocalyptis, is a Greek word, two words made together, and it means that something is opened which was beforehand not seen. For example, if there is in a village, in a city, something where the mayor of the town comes and all the people are invited and the music band plays, and then the curtain which is thrown on something is taken away. And then you see, maybe a tablet, something written on it, on a stone, or a statue, or something like that. And at the time when the event is done, when this opening event is there, then people do not see it just openly, it is covered. And this covering and the opposite of it, this means apocalypsis. You can see it then when the cover is taken away. And this is something what is an apocalyptic prophecy. Covering, this covering. Now, there are classical prophecies as well. In the book of Jonah, he is a prophet who has to go to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian kingdom, to tell them the end of their kingdom has come, if they do not change. It's conditional. If you do not, this will happen. No change, then it will be your end. But Jonah doesn't like to go there. The Assyrians are enemies of Israel, and he flees in the opposite direction, goes to the harbor, goes on a ship and wants to run away from God. But then on the ship, where he sleeps on it, a storm comes up. And the storm is so heavy that all the people on the ship start praying to their gods. And then they find Jonah sleeping in the bottom of the ship, and they ask him, please, it's time, pray to your God, we will die, look at the waves, look at the storm, we have no chance anymore. And Jonah knows, it's because of me, I And he tells the captain and says, throw me into the sea, and then the storm will stop. But they do not want to kill him. But in the end they discover, if we do not throw him into the sea, we all will die. So he will die first, and then we will die. So it doesn't matter. They throw him into the sea, the boiling sea. And suddenly, as Jonah touches the surface of the water, the storm stops. Silence. And all the people on the boat start praying to the real God Jonah had told them about. A huge fish appears, swallows Jonah, and drops him at the shore, and then another second chance. Jonah, go to Nineveh. And then he is shown. So here's Jonah in Israel, and he steps over to Assyria, to Nineveh. And first he went in the opposite direction, by boat. Now he's back, walking to Nineveh. And he tells them, Nineveh will be destroyed. But the people there, from the king to the slaves, they change their lives. They believe in the message. And then it is not destroyed within the time lapse which is told. It's conditional. This is classical prophecy. But apocalyptic prophecy, as we find it in the book of Daniel, shows God's plan in history. It will happen, whatever people want to do or not to do. That's the difference. God's time scale. Theologians who have studied the book of Daniel closely, they tried to find a way for interpretation. And there are several attitudes how to look at these apocalyptic prophecies. So some theologians, they follow the system of preterism. This means all of it happened in the past. The opposite way is futurism, from future, futurism. And this means it's far away in the future. Sometime it will happen. Maybe we will never experience this. It's far away. Preterism, it's far away in the past. Futurism, it's far away in the future. And there is another attitude of theologians studying this book. It's called idealism. They take out spiritual concepts and isolate them from history. Take these concepts out of history and just putting them somewhere. It's a thinking concept, not in history. And then, this is the attitude which we as Seventh-day Adventists prefer, it's called historicism. And this is an interesting combination. God prophesied something, and you see the fulfillment of this in history happen, and God's time scale is like this. It started in the past, goes on along history, and it ends up in the last time, in the last days. It's in the present. It's in our days. So it is an interesting combination. Some only leave it in the past, some leave it only in the future, some take it out of historical context, but historicism sees it happened in time, in history, and it happens now, and it will happen. So it's past, present, future. And the future is so close that maybe it will be present for us. And this system, this attitude of historicism, is the one which opens a wide field for studying. Because you see, it happened in history. There was a Babylonian kingdom, a Persian kingdom. There was a Greek kingdom. And we can read it in history books. And we can compare it with the prophecies made in Daniel, as we will see it in the chapters when we study them in detail. So this historicism is the finest way to study the book of Daniel, because it's full of wonders. How God prophesied in advance what would happen, and it happened. It was fulfilled in history. And he made it like this because he wanted to show us, you can trust in me. When you get information from the universe, you can trust. It is truth. And another concept which we find some prophecies are taken in a way that they show us in a certain area of time it will happen. And there's an interesting principle which the pioneers discovered, especially William Miller. When the Israelites, under Moses, under his guidance, came out of Egypt, then they walked through the desert, and they sent out 12 spies to discover Palestine. When they came back, 10 of them came with a negative attitude and said, there are giants there, we have no chance to enter it. Only 2, Joshua and Caleb, they said, with God's help, we will manage to get into this land, into this promised land. But the people listened to the 10 spies, and then God said, okay, if you do not trust me, then you are not allowed to enter. These spies have been in the land for 40 days. Each day is now taken for a year. They were 40 days there, and you will stay for 40 years in the desert. So there's a principle, one day for a year, and this we will find in time prophecies as well, as a key, as a code to discover what is the real amount of time. We will see this. Contemporary relevance of Daniel. Now, this is something which I like very much about the Bible. It's history. It's about persons who had a relationship with God, a close relationship, and it shows their experiences with God because of their relationship, their loving relationship. And what is even more important, that these stories tell us something about the present and the future. It's the same God. So what these people experienced with God, you can experience as well. And when there happened in history events, same events, will happen in present time and in future time. There is a contemporary relevance in the book of Daniel, as in the other books of the Bible. And this contemporary aspect, they are such interesting facts. So many aspects for our time, for the present time we live in. And because of this contemporary aspect, we see, oh, this God is real. As he worked with the people in the past, he wants to work with us. We can experience the same. We can trust in him. He will be with us. And what's important? God is above everything, above your life. And he wants to take you to the destination. And what he wants to do with one person, he wants to do with a people, all together in a state. He wants them to have success in all their doings and workings. God is a God who created people to get higher and higher and higher. If we listen to his voice, there are commandments, and his words want us to help to climb higher and higher. It's like a ladder. He shows us the steps, and if you go and go on according to his advice, you will be blessed. If you throw away his advice, you will learn that it would have been much easier if we had listened first to him, because he loves us. When parents get a child, it is born to them, they love it, and they want to do everything that its development is in a fine way, isn't it? They love it, the little one. They help this little one to develop properly. Now God wants us to develop properly as well. He's our creator. He loves us. If we listen to his voice, we are blessed. If we do not listen, we experience the opposite of blessing. So, it's so fine to study such a book, to discover God's love, to discover his aim with us, and to find out, that's the way we should go. Here we will have success. Not there. So we can leave that out and go on the best way. That's our God. The Bible was made for us. as a sign to find a way. I'm a teacher. From time to time, we made a walking tour. So all the pupils, 20, 30, two teachers, one at the head, one at the end, though I was the one in the end. We stepped up a mountain, I collected all these slow ones of the pupils, and there was a division, one way here, one way there. And those in front, they did not wait for me, they just thought, ah, this is the right way, and they went on. So when we came there, I looked at the map, which was in my hands, and I discovered, when I saw them over there, they are on the wrong way. So we went on the right one. And then they saw us. And when they caught sight of us, they shouted, "You're wrong, we're up there." And we said, "We are right, you are wrong. How can you know that?" "We have the map. It's the map which shows the way. The Bible is the map. It shows the way." You can decide out of your own opinion what you think. Yeah, you can be right or can be wrong. But if you look at the map, at the Bible, you will find the best way for your life. And in Daniel and his three friends, we see they had a look at the map. They had a loving relationship with their Father in heaven. They prayed to him, and then they made an experience. A great experience. And they were so happy afterwards, because they discovered it makes sense. Listen to our Daddy in heaven. He loves us. He wants us to grow, to climb higher and higher on the ladder, and to have a wonderful view of life. He wants us to succeed. Normally people do not listen to God's voice. They decide out of their own, say, "Oh, I know, I'm the best, I'm the wisest on earth." And then they discover, I should have listened. As teenagers should have listened to the advice of their parents. Do not act like this. Do not drink alcohol. Do not smoke cigarettes. Do not take drugs. Save your money. You will need it for bigger things in future. If you spend everything now, you will have no money for buying a car, or building a house, buying a flat or so on. You will need it, and you will not have enough then. So save it day by day, month by month, now, so that you will have in the future the sum you need then. And as parents here on earth help the youngsters to grow, to develop properly, to feed them, to clothe them, to give them a proper education, so God helps us to continue on our way to heaven. And if we listen, we will get there. If we trust Him, we will get there. If we love Him, we will get there. If we do not trust Him, if we do not love Him, if we do not listen to Him, if we do not obey Him, what will be in the end? Disaster, catastrophe. We will miss the aim. We will not reach the destination. Therefore, it's good for us to listen, to study, to love Him and to obey Him. Then we will get there. Come with me.